All right, good evening, everyone.
Great to see you. I want to apologize for not
participating in your afternoon festivities. I usually like to go and bounce off the walls and all the activities. You can be thankful, though, because whatever team I would have got picked for, I would be the dead wood on your team. So I think I'll be a lot better for the fact that I went back over to my billet and was quiet for a little while. So it's great. I feel like we've almost like done the whole weekend almost, and we still haven't got to our main point in our messages. So this evening we're going to do two more sessions in the series that we've been thinking about with regards to God's work and God's call in our lives. And we've been thinking about it in three ways. First of all, God's work for us, and then God's work in us that we're going to look at tonight, and then God's work through us. And there are three words, three Bible words. So God's work for us is what? Salvation. Somebody was listening. Awesome. And God's work in us?
Sanctification.
Very good. And then God's work through us? Service. Right. So we can see that there's a progression. There's there's an order to what we're trying to do in the things that we're looking at. So this evening, we're going to think about God's work in us. And the fact that God is, he's very, very interested, maybe even more interested, in the work that he does in us as servants than what he does through us. We often get so excited and so focused on accomplishing some great thing that we forget that what God is interested in doing is working in us. Now, so far, we've been thinking about ourselves and asking the question, am I saved? Do I know the Lord? Because that's the first step. But this evening, we're gonna have an example from the Bible. And his name is Timothy. So if you have your Bible, please turn to 2 Timothy. And we're going to see what we've been talking about kind of played out in the life of this young man, Timothy. I want to mention as well that we're welcoming any questions that you might have. Hopefully in the third session, I'm going to try and give you guys some time so that you can be thinking through these sessions about something that you might want to ask, and we can try and field those questions if you have any questions. And by all means, if you don't have the courage or something you don't want to ask in front of everybody else, by all means, we love to hear from you. And of course, there's always Jamie. He's there always. So the text that I would like to begin with here with you is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife or arguing. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And then go down to chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here Timothy's called a man of God. There's only one person in the New Testament that's called a man of God, and it's Timothy. His name actually means God honoring, or to honor God. And I like Timothy. He's an interesting character. He was relatively young, so right away you can relate to him. He was timid. Pretty good name too, kind of fit him, I think. He was timid. He was a guy that wasn't the first one to jump into things and put himself out there like Peter. He was maybe a little bit more reserved, and he had to be encouraged. Paul really exhorted him. And then Timothy was also a little, he had handicaps. We don't know exactly what it was, but Paul says, you drink a little wine because of your stomach. You've got, you know, he had some physical ailment. So right away, Timothy had a few things against him as a man of God and as a servant, as a someone who was called to a great work. And here in this passage that we've read, it talks about being a vessel. So that's what we want to think about, is the fact that all of us here are vessels, and we're either a vessel for honor or we're a vessel for dishonor. And it all depends on our relationship to the Lord Jesus and if we allow him to do his work in our lives. And as I mentioned, God is interested in using us. But in order for him to use us, in order for God to use you, you have to be a clean and empty vessel. And that way he can fill you and he can use you. Now, a vessel is a container. It's just a container. It's used for storing something or transporting something. But the important thing about a container is what it does, not what it is. Right? And he uses this term here that we're like jars of clay. It's a very, very appropriate description of what a human being is, because we're from dust and we're going to return to dust, and that's basically what we are. But the idea here is that you and I, we're just to be a container. But the reason is because there is this treasure, this incredibly valuable treasure that God wants you to have in your life, and so that you can become a vessel of honor. To have that treasure, to value it, and to be able to dispense it. So that's what we want to think about, is God's work in us, to make us more like Jesus Christ, to make us a vessel so that he could use us. And there's a number of things that have to happen. I told you the story about when I got very sick down in Guatemala, and how when I was laying there in the hospital and I wasn't quite sure about how things were going to turn out, I had doubts in my mind because I was so sick. And it was there and then that I kind of got a glimpse of what God was doing in a way that I didn't before. And for the first time I realized, I never thought about this, Jesus is the first missionary. Jesus is really, he is the missionary of missionaries. He shows us what it's about. And he left home and he was separated. He felt far away from home and isolated and misunderstood. And, you know, for the first time, I realized that this That the work wasn't about me, it was about what God was doing. But there was something else that happened to me there. And when I was in Guatemala, I went there like with all of the enthusiasm and like I was going to go and I was going to, you know, turn the place upside down. You know what? When I got there, I couldn't even ask where the bathroom is. I was reduced, literally I was reduced to just a helpless, no more than a young child. Because I didn't know the language, I didn't know the culture, I didn't know how to eat the food. Everything was so different and I was in such a foreign environment. And as I was laying there in that bed, I realized that God wanted me to come to a place where I completely depended upon Him. And I realized, for the first time as well, this, that God was more interested in what He was doing in me, way more than what I thought He wanted to do through me. And that's the thing. If it's not until you come to the place where you allow God to transform you, and you allow God, you surrender your life to the Lord, and you allow Him to work in your life, to work in you before He can work through you. And that's something that I needed to learn down there in a big way. Now, Scripture records exactly what we've been thinking about in the life of Timothy. We notice that there's this threefold general call to humanity. The first call is to salvation, that God is calling us. And God is inviting everyone to come to Christ for salvation. But He's also calling everyone to become holy, to be separate, to be different, and to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And He's also calling everyone to serve. Every single Christian is called to serve. And every single Christian has a spiritual gift or gifts, right? And only you can do what God has planned for you to do. I mentioned the posters out there on the table, and there's another one that's really good right now. And that is the one with the snowflakes and how every single snowflake is different. We don't understand how that could possibly be with the untold billions upon gazillions of snowflakes, and yet every single one is unique. And it's the same with you and I. No one can be you in God's work. And so all of us are called to do a work in what God is doing. And so no one else can do that. Now, in Timothy, we have an example of exactly what we've been talking about. So I want to give you a number of things about Timothy that give us kind of an example of how God worked in his life and worked in him so that he could become a vessel of honor. And here they are. The first thing that we see about Timothy here is that he was saved. And again, we say, well, we hardly get into our main point, and here we are back to salvation. But this is what it records here. It talks about his childhood. And it says here that from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. And in chapter 1, it says that his faith, Paul says, he talks about his faith, which dwelt first in his grandmother, and then in his mother, because the Scripture says his dad was a Greek, doesn't say anything about whether he was a Christian or not. But his mother took him on to her knee, and when he was barely 2 years old, began to tell him a story about Christ and about how he came and how he was the promised Messiah and so on. So Timothy, he got a Bible school knowledge of the Scriptures from when he was a kid. That's what it says here. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation. There's the first step again. They're exactly the pattern that we've been talking about. And so the Scriptures is what points us to Christ. This is the instrument that God uses in the new birth. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's like a seed. And when we hear the gospel for the first time, it's planted into our heart. And your heart is the soil. It's got lots of weeds in there, and it can be very stony and hard. But when we trust the Lord Jesus, new life, we receive new life through the Scriptures. And so the first thing that we see about Timothy is that he was saved. He was saved. Now, not only that, but Timothy was a student. And this comes out loud and clear in what we read about Timothy. I want you to notice chapter 2 and verse 15. Very, very famous verse. How many here go to Awana or know Awana or have been to Awana? Okay, so we've got quite a few. Some of you haven't, but Awana is all over the world. It's in Belize where we go, and Bolivia where I went, and even over in Ireland and all over the world. They base their motto on this verse. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now in the King James it says study to show yourself approved unto God. And we know that that word doesn't mean like study with books and concentrating on tests and stuff. It means be diligent, like it says here in the New King James. And what does the New American Standard say? Be diligent. Yeah. So it's, the idea is, give it your all. To be approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. In other words, Timothy became, he took an apprenticeship in the Scriptures. And he was working so that he might win God's approval by what by studying the Word of God. And this was the goal, to rightly divide the Word of truth. What we want to emphasize, this is an amazing book, and it's a big book, and it takes a lifetime to study. We got to start soon and early, right? And we need to learn how to rightly divide it. Because all around Timothy, Paul says there's heretics and there's all kinds of people that are deceiving and being deceived. There's false teaching. But he says, you, Timothy, you need to devote yourself to the word of truth and you need to learn how to handle the word of God. So he says you have to rightly divide it. That word means to cut straight. Now maybe Paul, as a tent maker, he's thinking about cutting leather and making tents, because that's what he did as a tent maker, cutting straight. Or what I think about when I look at this verse is like a plowman who's plowing a field, a straight furrow through a field. And I remember when I was on the farm up north and I had to do a bit of farming with my stepdad, sometimes I had to plow the field and sometimes I made a mess of it, right? And driving all over the field. And he showed me, he came out one time and he said, this is how you cut a straight furrow. You set your course, and you don't look where you're plowing. You set your eye on a tree or something exactly where you want to go, and you don't take your eye off it, and you just go straight towards that. And it was amazing how straight it became. And that's the idea here. And what we need to learn to do is we need to learn how to study the Bible and interpret it correctly. We need to cut a straight line through the doctrines of the Bible. And that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of dedication. And what we want to emphasize here is that if you want God to use you, you have got to allow Him to saturate your life with the Word of God. That you've got to dedicate yourself to the study of the Bible. So Timothy was a student of the Scriptures. And this is something that you can do right now. You don't have to wait to go to Bible school. This is the awesome thing about Bible study, is you can take a Bible and you can study it. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, the author, the teacher, and you can begin this lifelong journey of studying the Word of God. And that is key. That is the secret of a successful ministry of serving God. Is you need the Word of God in your life, and you've got to learn how to dig out the truths of God's Word yourself. He became a student of God's Word. And you know what? There's no substitute and there's no shortcut. There's no substitute and there's no shortcut. And it's hard because in our society today, I mean, let's face it, there's instant everything, right? You got instant messaging and you got instant coffee and you got instant this and that. But you know what? There's no instant Bible study. Now, there is instant prayer. Romans 12 says instant in prayer. That can be instant, but not Bible study. Bible study requires a consistent, consecutive, thorough investigation of the Word of God. And this is basic to your success as a servant of God. You can't do it without it. The more that you are able to handle the Word of God correctly, the more effective you will be in serving God. So we can't emphasize it enough that Timothy was a student. He learned to rightly divide the word of truth. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and so on. And it says here that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. What it means is matured. And then it says this, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, it's the word of God that gives you the tools for working. It equips you. It prepares you. This is part of the preparation process. And so Timothy became, he developed a conviction about the Word of God. He developed a conviction of its inspiration. Do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? That's foundational. That's crucial. Do you believe that the book that you hold are the very words of God? Timothy developed this conviction that the Bible was God's Word. It was from God. He developed a conviction in the inerrancy of Scripture, that is, that it is without error. And he developed the conviction of the sufficiency of Scripture, that is, that you have everything that you need in the Bible. Everything that is necessary to serve the Lord and for your Christian life, it's all there. And Timothy, this was part of the prerequisite for serving God for the third part of our series. A proficiency he developed in the Scriptures. And that's what we need today, don't we? There's no shortcut and there's no substitute. You know, I was really blessed today. I hope Ben won't mind me using him as an example here. See, I met Ben yesterday, but I met him again because I've known Ben. He's about 2 weeks older than my son, Jeremy. So they're like the same age. And I worked with his dad volunteering in the prison up north. So we're family friends from way back. But the last time I saw him, he was 4 years old. When we went to Guatemala. So I didn't even recognize him. You know, there's this tall, handsome guy. I don't know who he is. And he's like, you don't recognize me, do you? So I was like, wow. So he's grown up physically. But you know what? I saw today because I attended his seminar. And you know what? He has developed in the Scriptures. Just the way that he presented what he gave us today, and the way you can just tell that he has grown up in the Word of God, that he's spent time studying the Word of God, and he's developed. And it was just, so he has developed not only physically, but he has developed in the Scripture. I thought it was a great example. You'll notice here it says that the Word of God is profitable. That means that the Word of God is useful. Guys, you know when you're tinkering away on your skidoo and you just need that, just that one tool and no other tool will do? That's the idea here. It's just the right tool. It's useful. But look what it's useful for. You see how comprehensive the Word of God is, how sufficient it is. It's useful for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, what's not right. For correction, that's how to get right. And then instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. You see how comprehensive that is? See, we open the Bible and it tells us what's not right with us. It's like looking in the mirror, right? And we see this reflection and it shows up what's wrong. But then it shows us, it reproves us. So we have what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And it's all there in the Scriptures. So it's sufficient. And so this is what God uses to work on us and to work in us, and so that whatever kind of vessel we are, that we might become a vessel of honor, that he might clean us from the inside out. Remember, Jesus said he prayed in the upper room before he went back to heaven. His prayer for his followers, for the church, was this. He prayed to his Father and he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So the means, what God uses to set us apart for Him is the Bible, the Word of God. So it has a cleansing effect on our lives. So this is saying that in every area of our life, the Word of God, as it is applied to us, it conforms us more and more to what God wants for our lives. And that to me is amazing. And you'll find that. The Bible has a cleansing effect, doesn't it? You can't read the Bible and not have it affect you. And the more that you read it, the more of an effect it has on your life. And you know what? It has a cleansing effect. It has a cleansing effect. The Word of God purifies our mind, purifies our soul, purifies our lives. You might have heard about the little girl who was sent down to the river. And she was asked by her mom to go down to the river to get some water. And she grabbed this basket. She thought it would do. She ran down to the river and she filled up the basket and ran back up to her mom. And when she got there, it was empty. All the water had run through. So she went back down again and filled it up, back up, and ran back up as fast as she could and got up and it was all empty again. So I'll just one more time, I'll run faster. She filled it up, ran back up as fast as she could. And when she got to her mom, she said, "Oh, look, it's all empty." But her mom said, "Oh, but look at how clean it is. Look at how clean it is." And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I'll be reading the Bible, you know, and it'll be early and I'm not quite half done my coffee. And it's like, I'll be reading down one page and halfway down the other. And I'm like, "Oh, I better start again." Or I read through my daily Bible reading and I'm like, "I didn't understand that." But you know what? It doesn't matter. You need to develop that habit of taking in the Word of God. Read it, read it, read it, read it. Study it, and it will have a cleansing effect on your life. I remember seeing a video of T. Ernest Wilson, and he was a guy who was a missionary into Africa. And it was an interview, and they were interviewing this old missionary. And they wanted to glean from him some wisdom about prospective missionaries and so on. And this one guy was interviewing him, and he said, "Well, what kind of advice would you give for a prospective missionary?" You know what he said? He looked at him, and he said, "A good Bible and an alarm clock." A good Bible and an alarm clock. You know, that's good advice. And there's nothing that can substitute the Word of God, and there's also no shortcut. You can't just jump on your phone and go to Wikipedia or Google for the great doctrines of the faith, for the study of the Word of God. And you have to develop this habit of your life where you are in this lifelong journey of studying the Word of God. So Timothy was a student, and we can't emphasize this enough, that is one of the most important preparations for you to be an effective servant of God. Now the next thing is that he was a steward. Chapter 1 and verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. He says, "That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Now that phrase there, "that good thing," is literally a deposit. It's like a treasure. And basically Paul was saying to him that, okay, you have been given this deposit. It's like somebody came to you and gave you a big gold bar to put in your safety deposit box. Something of inestimable value. And now you become the recipient of that. But it's not yours. You are entrusted with it as a steward. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you have been given the treasure of God's Word, the doctrines of the Word of God. And you now are to guard that. That's what he's saying to him. And he became a steward, and in the sense that now he was responsible for the truth that he had received. And we are as well. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are exhorted to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is in you. You're a steward. You become a debtor, actually. You become a debtor to everyone around you because now you have this treasure. And that's what Timothy was. He was a steward. And this is what he was to do. Chapter 2 and verse 1. chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul is saying here, here's the chain of discipleship. Paul entrusted this treasure to him, and he was responsible to entrust it to the next person, and that person to the next person, and so on. It's basically discipleship. And I find it's a good thing to find someone that is a little bit ahead of you in the faith, a little bit more mature, or maybe quite a bit more mature, depending on where you're at. But somebody that you can say, listen, I would like to, you know, I'd like to spend time with you, or can, you know, would you be interested in mentoring me in the area of the Christian life? And then find someone who's a little bit lower than you, that you can kind of reach down and say, hey, come on, you know, what are you doing? I've got something here that I think you would be interested in. And so that you become part of this process. It's called discipleship. And this is what Timothy was. He was a steward. He became a responsible for what he had. And he became a steward. And it is required in stewards that a man be found. Who can tell me? Say it out.
Faithful.
And that's, folks, that's all that God wants of his servants, is faithfulness. We don't have to go across the ocean to do that. We can do it right where we are to become faithful. Now, in chapter 2 and 24 and 26, we read this. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. Timothy became a servant. Now, this is the hard part. Because again, in our society, isn't it, what everyone strives for is to be served, right? I mean, it's so much nicer than, you know, cooking spaghetti and getting all the grease flying all over the stove and boiling the noodles. It's so much nicer to just go on down to Swiss Chalet and have someone come over to you. Oh, what would you like? Right? I mean, it's so much nicer to be served. But that's not God's economy. God's economy is that the first shall be last, and the greatest shall be servant of all. And Christ is our example, right? And I tell you what, if you live always wanting to be served, you'll be miserable. You'll always be miserable. But if you begin to find that joy in serving others, I tell you what, there's nothing more fulfilling than that. And so Timothy was a servant. And this is basically what he became. He became kind of like an assistant to the Apostle Paul. And he was a servant. And you know what? Everyone can be a servant. Again, you don't have to travel around the world to be a servant. And basically, if you want to serve God, if you're thinking, is God calling me to serve as a missionary? You have to ask yourself, am I taking every opportunity to serve where I am? Do I help around the house? Do I help in the assembly? Do I help when there's something comes up? God is interested in our availability, not so much our abilities, but our availability. And Timothy was a servant. And you know what? That's what God wants in us, is a servant's heart. It's not so much whether, you know, we know everything or we're so skilled at something. That is good, and God will use everything that you have. But I tell you what, God is more interested in your attitude and in your willingness. I read of a guy who, he joined the army. And he was a truck driver, and he was a very good truck driver. And when he went to the army, he said, I want to serve driving the trucks. And when he got there, the guy said, right, you're going to be a cook. And he said, a cook? Wait a second, there's something wrong here. He said, no, there's no mistake. He says, well, I don't know how to cook. I know how to drive truck. The guy said, yeah, but here's the thing. We want guys that drive in the army to drive truck the army way. And if you come as a truck driver, you're going to drive truck the way you drive truck. But if you come and you're not a cook, you're going to cook the army way. So in other words, yeah, God may use your skill at whatever your talents, But that's not the important thing. The important thing is your willingness to be a servant. And this is not the glamorous part of the message. These are the things that, you know, people argue about. I remember I was in Guatemala and I worked for a little while as a nurse at the Christian Academy of Guatemala because my kids were missionary kids at this academy. It was quite expensive. And so part of to defray the costs of their studies, I was able to work as a nurse one day a week in the school. And then in the wood shop. And I was able to do a day a week in the wood shop for one semester. It was a lot of fun. But I noticed that with the passing of time, missionaries who were there lost their servant's heart. And they became into a routine. And what happened was there was a light bulb that needed to be changed in the foyer of the shop. Okay, no big deal, right? But the lady came down and asked the maintenance missionary, why isn't the light bulb changed yet? And he said, well, it's because you didn't fill out the proper form to request it to be changed. And she said, yeah, but so-and-so. And they started this great big argument at the front of the shop. And they were arguing for half an hour over a light bulb. I walked over to this ladder and I grabbed a light bulb and I changed the light bulb as they're arguing. I probably shouldn't have done that. Somewhere, they lost the sense of, you know, that servant's heart, really the heart of the Savior, right? So we've got to ask ourselves, if you are wondering whether God's calling you to serve, you have to ask yourself, am I looking for every opportunity to serve where I am? Jim Elliot, missionary to Ecuador, martyr, he said, wherever you are, be all there. And so it's important, wherever you are, to look for opportunities to serve. And God can work in you that attitude of a servant's heart. So the last one. So far, he was saved. He was a student of the Word of God. He was a steward. He was a servant. Here's the last one. He was a soldier. And it's here in chapter 2 as well. And verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so, basically, the soldier has to go through training. Boot camp. You've heard of boot camp, right? And basically, that's a place where you are put through an incredibly hard course, where you, basically, what they try and do is harden you up. So that when you're out in the field, you're not going to faint, you're not going to give up, you're not going to surrender, you're not going to cry, you're not going to give up. You know, the fact of the matter is, I'm glad that you're hearing this. I'm glad I have the opportunity to tell you. Most of the people that intend to go to the mission field never make it. And those that do, most of them never end up staying on the field. I have been told, and I believe this, that foreign missionary work is the hardest, most demanding job on the face of the planet. Every problem that you have here on the foreign field is magnified 100 times. So the time to prepare is here and now. And as you go through your life where you are, this is the time for your faith to be strengthened. For your life, every area of your life, how you handle money. What's your attitude towards work? How do you respond to hardship? All of these things need to be sorted out way before you go on the field as a missionary. And so now is the time. This is the training time. And you know what? The local church is the place where God works in you to prepare you to be a vessel of honor. In all of these areas and so many more as well. So there's just a little bit from the life of Timothy, who was a vessel, just like you and I. But God worked in him in these ways and others to prepare him, to prepare him. And God wants to work in you before he can work through you. It's just a matter of whether you're willing to allow him to work in your life. Kevin, or who's in charge here? Yeah. Do you want me to pray now, or?
Sounds good. We're actually going
to. Okay.
If you want to pray,
okay.
And then we're going to go straight down to the line of who's just about ready.
Okay, very good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today again for the opportunity to be together this weekend. We're so glad, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word. And just to be reminded of some things, Lord, that maybe we haven't thought about. We thank you for how effective your word is. It's like a sword that cuts into our heart. It wounds us in a way, but it also heals us. And we just pray, Lord, that you would work in each one of us. We want to invite you to lay bare our hearts, everything about us, Lord, so that we can just say, Lord, here am I. Fill me and use me for whatever you have for me. And I thank you, Lord, for all of these young people. Lord, it's not too soon for them to be getting serious about their service for you. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to equip us, to work in us and on us in all of these ways and many more. And we just thank you for all that we have in our country. We thank you for our freedom, and we just thank you so much for all of the temporal blessings that we take for granted, and we just want to thank you now for the food that we're about to receive, and we just pray that you bless it to us. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.